Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you love this podcast, be sure to check out one of our other podcasts, Real Ghost Stories Online, jam-packed with real ghost stories told by real people every single day of the week. Check it out. Search Real Ghost Stories Online. Press subscribe. Here's a preview portion of one of our bonus episodes for our premium subscribers, or we call them EPPs, extra podcast people, of Real Ghost Stories Online. Take a listen. Search Real Ghost Stories Online and press subscribe while you listen. Enjoy. Ghosts, spirits, haunted incidents, they happen all different places at all different times. Sometimes where you least expect them. And sometimes where if someone just set up the scenario for you and said, okay, this is the place, this is the time, this is the setting, one could go, there's probably going to be a ghost there. Sometimes there's not, though. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, we have two stories for you. One about a couple that decides to join another couple friend at a nice mountain getaway. Okay, sounds nice so far, but the context to it, it's the middle of winter. The getaway place is technically not really open to anybody that's being cared for, kind of like The Shining. There's a blizzard, and the place, the structure, it was an old funeral home. Yes, horror does ensue. That's our first story. Then we go over to a woman who's trying to find peace and also try to put together memories from childhood in search of answers to what haunts her mentally every single day. Two great stories for you on EPP bonus episode number 406 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Have you ever wanted to live The Shining? You know, the movie where you're in a giant old hotel. It's the middle of winter, kind of taking care of it. And as you know, strange things begin to happen. Sound like fun? Well, in our next story, that very sort of thing happens to a couple visiting their friends who are taking care of this large mansion in the mountains. What should be a fun ski weekend turns into anything but, as they soon discover the history of the mansion. It wasn't just a mansion. In fact, originally, it was a funeral home. And now it's kind of a house with rooms and corridors that really haven't been used since the days of it being a funeral home. What they find and experience there is truly chilling. Take a listen. Hello, everyone. I'm in Florida and have sent in two stories you've read, Haunted Elevator and Ghost Tour in St. Augustine. The story I'm sending you today happened in the early 1980s when we were still living in New York. Hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoy listening to your podcasts. It was the middle of winter, and friends of ours had invited us to a house they had rented in the mountains to go skiing. Myself, my husband, and our three-year-old daughter. We arrived around midday. The house was a two-story Victorian-style building that most likely was built in the early 1900s. It had a cement wall that went around the house, and at the driveway were two columns with lions atop each one. The house was set at the back of the property, making the driveway very long, and it wrapped around the back of the house. As we drove around the back, there was an entrance to the house. We parked and began unpacking the car. As we entered the house, we were in what is known as the mudroom up north. There was a rack for us, skis and cubbies for our wet boots. Someone thought it was funny, and above the ski rack had written "The Caretaker," as the movie The Shining had recently been released. Our friends then took us into a huge kitchen. We went down a hallway with a door to the left and to the right, another huge room. This was all set up like a dining room with a long table and chairs. I thought it odd that on the inside wall of the room was all cabinets and two sinks. Another thing I noticed was that the rooms all had pocket doors, which I contributed to being able to close off rooms during the cold winters in the mountain. We then turned left and walked through a sitting room into an entry lobby. There was the front door, a staircase, and two rooms to the right of it, with one of the doors closed to the nearest open, with a piano, large upholstered chairs, and shelves filled with books. We followed them upstairs to our room. When we arrived at the top of the stairs, our friend's room was at the end of the left side of the hallway, the bathroom at the end of the right side, and our room in between both. The room was big with windows across the front, a cot for our daughter, bed and dresser. Then also was a freestanding clothes closet with a door behind it. My girlfriend told us it was to the attic. Of course, we all joked about it because it's never a good thing in the movies. Sorry about all the details, but it all comes together in my story. We headed out for an afternoon of skiing. Exhausted, we headed back to the house. The local radio station was calling for heavy snow overnight, so we were excited about the prospect of fresh snow tomorrow. My daughter was sleepy, so I carried her right upstairs to our room to put her to bed. My girlfriend followed us to go change out of her ski clothes. I went into our room, closing the door behind me, put her pajamas on, tucked her into bed, and then changed myself. Sat on the side of the bed beside her and noticed that the door was open. I grew up in an old house, and I knew that sometimes doors warp, don't close unless pushed in tight. While sitting waiting for my daughter to fall asleep, I saw what I thought was my girlfriend pass by, headed to the bathroom. Once my daughter was asleep, I went downstairs, leaving the door open. I found my husband, my girlfriend's husband, and my girlfriend in the sitting room. "How did you beat me downstairs?" I asked her. "I just saw you headed for the bathroom." She looked at me wide-eyed and said she had come downstairs right after getting changed. I just sat down next to my husband. We talked about our day. It was now snowing pretty hard. We were wondering about the weather. Then my girlfriend's husband told us that there was no television or radio in the house, and cell phones, they weren't around yet. We continued catching up when my husband commented about the lights at each end of the sofa. I looked at them and suddenly realized what they were. They were the upward-facing lights that are put at each end of a coffin during the viewing. My girlfriend's husband admitted that the house was originally a funeral home before being changed into a rental for ski season. The rooms downstairs were the viewing rooms, thus the pocket doors, all except the dining room, which was the embalming room. They proceeded to tell us about the things that have been disappearing, the piano playing in the middle of the night, footsteps, sound of doors opening and closing, hearing people talking. We sat watching the snow come down even harder. We decided to go to bed. Went upstairs, got ready for bed. When we came into the room again, we closed the door behind us. My daughter was sound asleep. I decided to go to the bathroom when I noticed the door open again. When I left the room, I made sure the door was closed and even pushed on it. When I came back, the door once again was opened, and my husband was sitting up in bed. He said the door stayed closed for about 2 or 3 minutes and then slowly opened by itself. Needless to say, we didn't sleep much that night between watching the snow falling and the door. I was finally starting to fall asleep, only to get the feeling someone was standing next to me. With my heart pounding, I slowly opened my eyes to see my daughter standing there. Both my husband and I sat up in bed. I asked her if she needed to go to the bathroom or wanted a drink of water, but she wouldn't answer, just stared straight ahead. I took her back to her bed and laid her down. My daughter had never sleptwalked before that or even again after it. We finally were able to fall asleep for 1 or 2 hours. When we got up in the morning, it was about a foot or more of new snow. We all ended up going outside to play in the snow. My husband decides to go into town and to the bakery, get us something for breakfast. When he got into the car, it wouldn't start, which was odd because it was a new car. Being that it was a manual shift, we decided to push start it. We'd push it, it would start, and go about 2 feet before it died. We pushed it all the way down that long driveway, starting and stopping. It wasn't until we got the car past the columns with the lions that it ran without any trouble. We had a feeling something didn't want us to leave. That's going to wrap up the preview portion of EPP Bonus Episode number 406 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want the full thing and access to all 406 bonus episodes, become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. You get access to all of those episodes. You also get access to our archive of regular episodes, all the stuff that's fallen off of iTunes and the other players. You get all that. It's nearly 10 years worth of ghost stories. Almost daily. So it is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. You get all that. You also get advanced episodes of the show, all of it commercial free. So if you like listening to Real Ghost Stories Online and you don't want any ads and you want everything we've ever made, become an extra podcast person. It's stories that are evergreen. It's nothing that you're going to get sick of, and you'll just be able to binge away for literally, pretty much forever. I it's amazing if anyone gets through all of the material, because there's a lot of it. Ghostpodcast.com is where you can sign up, or the Patreon app. Just search Real Ghost Stories Online, or go to patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all of the bonus material, and you'll help support our show and keep us on the air. It's only $5 a month. So if you like the show, consider helping us out and keeping us going there at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for all of us at Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.